first battlefield overlook. In the distance is the road to the Green River. Daniel Morgan, the old wagoner of French and Indian War fame, was no doubt at home on such a landscape. The old road, once an Indian trail, led from the Pacolet River west to the mountains of North Carolina. Marching from 3 a.m. in an attempt to catch Morgan, Tarleton arrived at the Cowpens before daybreak and formed his army on the Green River Road. As they formed, Morgan's first line of militia, the sharpshooters were waiting, positioned across the same road on a slight slope 100 or more yards to the west of the British. The crack of the rifles broke the early morning stillness and drew the British into battle. Tarleton's order to his dragoons to dislodge the skirmishers failed, but as his infantry advanced, the skirmishers gave way, as Morgan had planned, and fell back to join the militia on the second line of defense. Now it was the second militia's lines turned to face the British. At least one unit in the second line, that of Thomas Brandon, got off two volleys against the British, as Morgan had earlier instructed. But most had time for only one before they retreated as planned to reform behind the Continental troops and Virginia militia, which made up the third line. Seeing first the Patriot sharpshooters and then the militia moved back, the British vanguard mistakenly interpreted their withdrawal as a retreat and charged upslope directly into the sights of the Continentals and Virginia militiamen. Tremendous firepower had already been directed at them by the two lines of militia. As the weakened British line continued its charge, the militia retreated as planned. The Continental line simply opened up an echelon to let them pass. They were far from safe, however. At this point, Tarleton's horsemen broke through the Continental line after them, attempting to saber them from their elevated positions on horseback. It was at this point that William Washington and his 150-man Patriot cavalry, hidden in a swale and held in reserve for just such a moment, rode out to scatter the British horsemen and allow the militia to safely retreat and reform. As the Continental and British lines exchanged volleys, Tarleton brought up his own reserves, the 71st Scottish Highlanders, to strengthen the now decimated British line and to outflank the Continentals to their right. This is where an unplanned event took place, which worked to favor the Patriots. The order for the Continentals to turn right to face the Highlanders was misunderstood, and the entire Continental line began a mistaken but orderly retreat, loading as they marched. The Highlanders, seeing the militia run, and now the Continentals thought they had Morgan's army on the run. Breaking ranks, they charged after the Continentals. Coming on, someone said, like a mob. But William Washington, with the Patriot cavalry, saw what was happening and informed Daniel Morgan. When they closed to within 30 yards, Morgan, accompanying Colonel Howard's on horseback, shouted, "Face about, boys! Give them one good fire, and the victory is ours." The Continentals turned as one, firing from the hip as they did. The deadly fusillade killed or wounded dozens, and threw the entire British force into confusion. Howard ordered a bayonet charge into the center of what remained of the Highlander line, while Washington's cavalry and Pickens's militia attacked their left and right flanks, respectively, trapping the British in what historians have called a double envelopment. The main British line, now weakened, began a surrender. Sensing a disaster, Tarleton attempted to rally his troops but failed. Accompanied by a few of his officers, Bloody Ban then made good an escape, despite William Washington's valiant efforts to thwart the British commander, leaving behind him 110 dead, 200 wounded, and about 600 prisoners. Tarleton outdistanced Washington down the Green River Road. Escaping with him were over 150 British cavalry. Tradition says that Tarleton took area resident Adam Gaudilock captive to show him the route to Hamilton's Ford on the Broad River in his attempt to rendezvous with Cornwallis at his camp on Turkey Creek north of the Broad River. Mrs. Gaudilock, afraid her husband would be harmed in a shootout, put the pursuing William Washington and his cavalry on the wrong road, and Tarleton escaped. It was nighttime when Tarleton got to the Broad River, then at flood stage. When his soldiers expressed fear in crossing, Tarleton threatened to cut down any who hesitated. Reporting to Cornwallis the loss of an army was an unpleasant task. Cornwallis, however, needed Tarleton and the remainder of his army. Shortly, he began a pursuit of Morgan and later General Nathanael Greene that would lead him further into the Carolina backcountry and away from his supplies.